It's great to be in God's presence, isn't it? And you know, I think the last ministry, maybe before Jesus comes back, will just be worship, where you don't need a prophet or an evangelist or a preacher. We'll just be lost in his presence. And as we not just worship with chords, but we have a lifestyle of worship, then that will be the revolution or the revival that we so want. I can't get away from Andrea's word. It deserves repeating. Imagine that. Imagine, you know, I like Jaffa cakes. But imagine the devil comes along and says, do you fancy a bit of anxiety today? And you say, no, I'm too busy doing amazing things. What's that all about? Isn't that amazing? Do you want some drugs or alcohol or sex or rock and roll? Do you want something that you will become addicted to and you can say, no, I'm busy doing amazing things like Ernie. I'm busy just going about my life in Christ and Christ in me, doing amazing things. Imagine if it was just that easy. I think it might be. I think it is, isn't it? If we get besotted with Christ, isn't it strange that the things of the world become so dim and lackluster? And I had a picture when we were worshiping of somebody. You know, I don't like celebrity. I don't do awards and all of this malarkey. Just something about it that irks me. But I saw this person standing at a mic, and there was a big crowd, and he opened this envelope, and the nominations are, and there was three names, and it was Jesus, Jesus, and Jesus. And the award went to Jesus. Do you know, I'm conscious today. I'm going to set myself up in some freedom today by saying, it says in 1 Corinthians 1 that people are saved through the foolishness of preaching. It's daft preaching, isn't it? You know, Andrea comes along and tells us a silly story about Jaffa cakes and her lad or lass. And doesn't it mean something to you, though? You know, when the word of God is anointed, doesn't it just get in there, and doesn't it make you feel good? Doesn't it make you feel better? And I mean that in the sense of know who you are, know who he is, and feel you could face the world. And you know, that's going to stick in my mind. I'm going to feed off that for weeks now. That when that anxiety comes, when I watch the news more than once a day and I think it's going down the tubes, I can say, I'm busy doing amazing things. I'm too busy to get involved, except by prayer and things like that, with Kim Jong-un and Donald Trump and all the indecisive madness that the world is today. Because I'm in Christ, and because Christ is in me, because I'm just going to get busy doing amazing things. Excuse me, I might be waffling a little bit. Have you ever been bored with churchianity? Phew. I took a chance there. I thought it might have just been me. I've never been bored with Jesus, not once. But I've been bored sometimes, or stressed out, or lost the plot, or become mediocre, or took my foot off the pedal, or gone dim because of stuff that surrounds Jesus sometimes. Nothing wrong with stuff, but it's the cart and not the horse. And sometimes it's business as usual. Sometimes when it is business as usual and we've been walking with God a long time and we get involved in the stuff of church, which is great, we can do it out of duty and our first love can wane. Let me tell you something. The nominations are... you know, cliches are only those things that have been oversaid and we lose the truth of them. But it's all about Jesus. I could stand here this morning under the power of the Holy Ghost and tell you it's all about Jesus, and that would be good enough. Because to you right now, in the foolishness of preaching, we have the Holy Spirit here hovering and brooding and just shining little lights into your life. I feel quite free. I've done my homework. I've done my business. I've studied and prayed and so on. But without the Holy Ghost, I'm a fool. Sometimes with the Holy Ghost. But But here today, without him and his purposes and his plans and him hovering and brooding in your life right now, just switching little lights on, preaching is just useless, isn't it? And sometimes we can feel as though we've been this way 1,000 times and we can lose our first love. And it's all Rob's fault. May as well put it, oh, yours. We may as well put it out there straight away, mightn't we? It's all the pastor's fault, isn't it? No, okay. Or it's our age, or it's our circumstances, or it's our condition, or it's a million and one other things. But you know what? I've never been so excited in God. I've never been so excited, ever been. I want to be as infectious as I can be. I want to be thoroughly infected with Christ. I feel like I could rip my chest open this morning and say, have some of this. Do you feel like that in God's presence? Do you feel like you're so full you could burst when you just realize his love? God is on the move, people. Church, God is on the move. God is on the move. Now, I know this church and you as individuals know that. But sometimes sermons are teaching or preaching, and sometimes I want to declare something to the heavenlies. And today I want to do that. I want to declare to you and to Kingsway Christian Fellowship and to the world and to the powers that be, God is on the move. It's all about Jesus and the nominations are, but I have authority in his name. And so do you. We are gatekeepers to heaven on earth. Awesome, isn't it? There's not many things awesome, is there? Overused. But that's awesome that we have authority in his name to declare things. And I'm declaring this morning with all humility in him that God is on the move. Today, in this planet, it doesn't matter what Kim Jong says or Donald or Theresa or anybody. Let's pray for them and let's consider, let's not be foolish. But God is on the move. 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 Hallelujah. If you turn or on the screen, go to Joshua chapter 3. Hallelujah. The backdrop. You know the story. They, children of Israel, were delivered out of Egypt. They came to the promised land. They came to the promised land and they said, no. And so they were led around the wilderness for 40 years. God forbid. And so Moses brings a generation through the wilderness, a new generation. And then God says to Joshua, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now thou, therefore, arise and go over this Jordan. An amazing thing. Joshua, you're up. Joshua, it's your turn. Joshua, Moses, my servant, is dead. You're up. Was anybody here God saying that to them this morning? I don't know all your names. I don't even know half your names any now, but God is saying, you're up. Norma Vaughan, you're up. You're up. Joshua, you're up. And in verses 2 and 3 of Joshua chapter 3, they came to the Jordan, and it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites bearing it, then you shall remove from your place and go after it. I think that's an amazing statement. The people, the commanders went through the people and commanded, when you see the Ark of the Covenant and the priest, the Levites bearing it, then you shall remove from your place and go after it. Has anybody got a place? We're all in a place. We've all got a place. It could be a good place, but God is on the move. So often what robs us of best is what's good, but God is on the move. Often what robs us of God is God. Ooh, you'll start speaking, maybe picking up stones then. What I mean is God is on the move. And we need a fresh revelation and a vibrant, dynamic relationship with this Jesus who is on the move. So we've all got a place. And sometimes it's a good place. It's a great place. Moses was a good guy. He was a Moses. If I could be half as good as Moses, I'd be a happy bunny. Moses was God's man. When Jesus appeared on the Mount of Transfiguration, Moses was there. But Moses, my servant, is dead. Joshua, you're up. We've all got a place. It might be a bad place today. That got a better response, actually. It might be an ugly place you're in today. Can I say to you, whatever place you're in, whether it be good or bad or ugly, God is on the move. Because sometimes the devil will say, it is this way. It's always been this way. It will always be this way. Ad infinitum. But my declaration to us this morning is God is on the move. And we need to remove from our place and go after it. Christianity is not by osmosis, is it? We don't just soak it up and we're okay. We are responsible. We are privileged and we have a responsibility. And the responsibility for us is to go after God. And there's always a fight, isn't there? There's always resistance. There's always a competition between that next place in God, that higher place from where you are. Because you know why? It's a higher place. It's God says in Revelation, is it, come up here and I will show you things to come to pass. God says, is it Philippians, that forget those things that lie behind and press on to that higher calling of God in Christ Jesus. So it's not going this way and it's not just going that way. It's going that way. It's a high calling. And in your life, you're okay. It's okay. There is resistance. There is trouble. There is a fight going on. There's a war going on. There's a competition for where you're at and where God's calling you to be. Spirit, soul, and body. There will always be resistance. And we need... Do that? Knots in cotton. We need to build our muscle up. We need to see where that ark is and remove from our place and go after it. I love the presence of God. I love to soak in the presence of God. I love by myself and with you guys. I just love to be. I've had a great time this morning. I could go home today happy. I feel better for what you guys and what you guys and what everybody's done for me this morning in the Holy Ghost. I could go now. I'm okay. I'm good. I'm good. Good to go. I love the presence of God. I love the word Emmanuel. Doesn't it make you feel as though, ooh, that's lovely that. Emmanuel, God with us. My favorite psalm, or one of my favorite psalms out of the 150 of my favorite psalms, is Psalm 91. He who dwells in the secret place shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That secret place. When you're in work on a Monday morning, I finished work last week, I don't go anymore. But when you're in, when you fools, no. When you're in work tomorrow, when you get up, when I get up tomorrow morning, I wake up, honestly, I go to bed in that secret place and I do my best and practice and disciple myself to get up in the secret place. It's a wonderful place to be. It's a place of peace, of comfort and assurance. I love to be there. But let's read on. Joshua chapter 3, verse 4. It says this, "Yet there shall be a space between you and it," that is the ark, "about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way." In the AV it says, heretofore. You've not, you've not passed this way before. I started coming to Kingsway in 1979. Those were like black and white days, or sepia, and so, you know, I've painted some of the chairs and had the privilege of ripping out some of this building, and that was dead exciting, wasn't it? And here I am today, and I can't tell you about the journey I've been on. It would take too long. I've never been so excited in God, and I've never been this way before. And I'm a tad scared in a good sense. In fact, I'm very scared in a good sense, because God is on the move, people. God in your life is on the move. And here Joshua says, put a space between you and it, that you might know the way you must go. I think that's a very interesting statement. See, sometimes we feel there's a space between God and us. And it might be sin. And it might be the devil. It might be circumstances. It might be your feelings. But what if it's the Father drawing you? What if it's Abba Father God wooing you higher? What if it is? What are you going to do? Gary spoke a couple of weeks ago. Elijah, what are you doing here? What are you doing here in your self-righteousness? What are you doing here in your good place? What are you doing here in your bad place? What are you doing here in your ugly place? God is on the move. God is drawing us. God is leading us to a new place in Him. To come up higher, to possess more of our inheritance in Him, to that high calling. And we need to stop sometimes and be discerning. We might feel, when there's that space between God and us, abandoned. Ever felt abandoned? We might feel condemned. We might feel anxious. We might feel as though we have no vision. And we just don't know where we are or where we're going. We might even feel lost. See, I can't tell on your faces. You're not putting your hand up saying, yeah, I'm one of them. I'm just trusting your normal Christian that feels some of the things that I feel sometimes. But I'm going to put a positive spin on it this morning. Check if it is the devil, and we can deal with that. Check if it is your circumstance, and we can pray. Check whether it's your anxiety and your worry and your comfortability or your selfishness. Check. But let's check. It might be God. Check that you've got your eyes on the ark. Check that what you're asking for, to be led and drawn by God, is that's what's happening. But you feel insecure. I want to comfort you this morning. God is on the move, and is on the move in your life and our life. And He wants to take us to places that are unfamiliar. God is on the move. You know, I think that a healthy believe that a healthy dissatisfaction is a good thing. I don't mean whinging and moaning. I don't mean complaining. Don't get me wrong. Don't justify yourself by what I've just said. But I think we should have a healthy dissatisfaction in God, because he's always drawing us higher. My question is, are we taking time to look? My question to you this morning is, have you taken time to see? Are you taking time out to know? Have you put space between you and God? Are you on the look? Are you alert? Are you awake? Well, we're a charismatic fellowship. We're tongue talking. You know, we just sang in tongues. What are you saying? You having a laugh? Is it just me? It's very quiet in here. Are you awake? Yes. Are you alive? Are you switched on? Is your sharpness like flint? Have you set your face to your Jerusalem? Have you set your face like flint to cut through all the dross that's coming this way in life, in your life particular, in the world, in the life that we now live in the 21st century, with all the stuff that comes through the telly, the news, from the spirit realm, from your physical realm? Have you set your face like flint to remove from your place and go after him? Because that's what it's going to take in these days. Do you know, I've never been into last days eschatology and escapology, but not eschatology. I want to get out of here to some degree. But my heart is towards God. My heart is saying, my heart is, my dials are switched on. I'm tuning myself to say, God, where are you? Not just there. Not just that secret place or Emmanuel, but God, where are you? Where are you? Because where he is the safest place to be. Where he is the next place to be. Where he is the only place to be, isn't it? But we've got to move further than our own skin to embrace what might be unfamiliar. To leave what might have been solid and good and proper and holy. To take hold of what God has got for us. One of the five words for praise, Hebrew words, one of them is Yadar. Y-A-D-A-W. I might have said that wrong, but sure you'll put me right. Yada. And it means to worship with an open or extended hand. Not seeing my belly there, are you? I love that. I love the idea of just being so like this. So empty yet so full. Having nothing and having everything. Just like a funnel. Here am I, God. I'll have it all, God. I'll have a wagon load, a shed load. It's me. I hope everybody else gets it, but not at my expense, maybe. Because I've driven all this way from Skelmersdale to come to a meeting. I'm not going home empty. Do you know what I'm saying? We've got to be determined, haven't we? My determined purpose is that I may intimately become acquainted deeper and deeper with him, because the nominations are Jesus, Jesus, and Jesus. It's not very practical, this maybe, is it? But I'm trusting the Holy Spirit's doing something in you because of the foolishness of preaching. God is on the move, people, and it demands us to have all of our spirituality and senses switched on to know exactly where he is and what he's doing in any given time. He might be by a railway station one day, and somebody might be looking for an estate agent. And you know what, Joshua, Ernie, you're up. You were up that day, because every day is the Lord's day, isn't it? And we're up. It's your turn. It's your turn. I don't care how old you are, how young you are, how thin, tall, squat you are. It doesn't matter. God this morning is saying, I'm on the move and you're up. Every single one in the sound of my voice, it's your turn. You're up. Yada, to worship with open and extended hand. Some of us are paid up members of the White Knuckle Brigade, aren't we? Or the Tight Fisted Club. Not letting this go. It's too risky. I can't let this go because I'll have nothing. I can't let go of this because it's who I am. I just can't let go of this God. It's precious to me. I can't let go of this God because they were wrong and I'm right. I can't let go. White knuckles. But God is on the move. We hang on to so much, people. We hang on to attitudes, to habits, traditions, to our pain. God is on the move this morning. I'm so keen this morning wanting to, I don't want to strain, I don't want you to strive and say, how do you do that? Well, we could pray for each other later. But it's about a concept, it's about a truth, if you will, so that you can go home and be with your God in your secret place and say, God, like Isaiah, I've heard a conversation in heaven. Who will you send? Here am I, send me, whether it's to Eritrea, or Woolton, or Skelmersdale, or Bootle, or Waterloo, Crosby, or France, or wherever you might find yourself, God will always be and is on the move. And when I'm saying, talking about giving things up, I'm not talking about or against faithfulness, or loyalty, or commitment, or dedication, or tenacity, or any of those good things. But we can all plateau and get stuck. We can stagnate, we can become inert and lose our momentum. But God is on the move. 2 Corinthians, don't have to turn to this, 3:18 talks about being changed from glory to glory. From one state of glory to another state of glory. Imagine that. Have you had the same glory for the last 10 years? Just asking. You're gonna throw stones at me when I say this. This is so cliche, but I've got to say it. Only average things are made in the satisfactory. Isn't that awful? Isn't that a groaner of a cliche? We are called to be a people of excellence. This church wants to be, in its vision, a church of excellence. Not mediocre and not average. And not satisfactory. Are you listening? I don't want to be average. I don't want to be medium or mediocre or just enough. Because God is on the move. Mediocre comes from two Italian words. You get an education, don't you? Medi and ochre. In Italy, there is a mountain called the Ochre Mountain. And medi means half, halfway. So mediocre means halfway up the mountain. Have you ever just traveled halfway up the mountain? God's calling us to the top. God is calling us to be excellent, to excel, to prosper abundantly in what he has for us. And that will only take our attitude going after him. Keeping our God radar on, knowing where he is, and leaving and removing from our place and going after him. I think Jesus is the most exciting person I know. Now, be careful how you listen to this. He beats the hell out of drugs. He beats the hell out of alcohol. He beats the hell out of food and every other addiction and thrill ride of man. He beats Jaffa cakes any day. And I just feel God is talking to us today, certainly talking to me, and this is my life at the moment. But I felt it was a word from God as well, that he's on the move. And we have to be aware and have our God radar on to move with him. I'm just going to show you in a minute a picture, just as a bit of an analogy, really. The Honduras government asked the best architects in the world to build a bridge. And it was called the Choluteca Bridge, and it was built between 1996 and 1998. Honduras have the worst hurricanes in the world. And so the best architects with the best materials built this bridge to withstand the worst weather. But in November 1998, Hurricane Mitch came to town. 5,600 people died. 100 inches of water was dropped in 3 days. That's a lot of rain. That is torrential. That is stair rods. 150 other bridges were either destroyed or seriously damaged. However, the Choluteca Bridge stood fast. Show that picture. And there it is. Can you see anything wrong with that picture? The bridge is good. Bridge is good. It's still there, look at that. The architects could say, get in. We did our job. The materials were good. The design was good. The builders did good. But the force of Hurricane Mitch moved the river. That river now is irrelevant. Hello? That bridge now is irrelevant. That bridge now has no purpose except for preachers like me who use it as an analogy. It's irrelevant. Have you ever heard that about the church? Church today is irrelevant. The church today has no purpose in life. We must tolerate everything and be political. We must do this, we must do that. The church, if it doesn't go after, remove from its place and go after him, will become irrelevant. I want that to stick in your mind. I do not want to be like this. I do not want this church or his church to cross nothing, to go from nowhere to nowhere. God is on the move, and he is calling us today to attention, to show up, to turn up for duty and say, God, I'm here. What will you have me do? Where do you want me to be on any given moment? And this is an adventure, you know. We can practice this. We can practice this with each other. Sometimes the anointing of God is stronger somewhere else than just in your heart. Sometimes the anointing of God, for me, is on you. The anointing of God for Ernie that other day was on a woman at a train station. Are you with me? Yeah. Are you listening? Yeah. That's where the flow was. It's not just flowing through here on a Sunday or a Tuesday or a Wednesday. The river of God is wherever the river of God is. And we need to be aware of that river because God is on the move. And I don't want to be irrelevant or useless or purposeless. And so sometimes we need to get outside of our own skin or our own comfortability or selfishness or whatever and sense where the presence of God is stronger. Over there for me right now, or over there, or wherever, because God is on the move and God is leading us, people. I'll stop there. Let's pray. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you will blow, and what is chaff, you will blow it away. But what is of you, Lord God, I pray that you'll hold it firm in our hearts. You would cause it to find good soil, Lord God, and we would trust it, trust your word, Lord God, for your word is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Lord, thank you that if you said it and we can believe it, that will settle it. Lord, thank you that you're calling us all, Lord God, not just Rob or Tina or whoever. You're calling us all to come up higher, Lord God. You're calling each one of us to a new place in you. Lord, thank you that you've privileged us of hosting Holy Ghost. of having you in our hearts. But thank you, Lord, that you're drawing us and wooing us and directing us to follow you, Lord God, into a different place, Lord, an unfamiliar place maybe. I pray, Lord God, for each one of us, Holy Spirit, you would individually minister what you've said this morning, Lord God, that we will not try and be like anyone else, but that we'll just relax and trust you to bring it on home, Lord God, that we might, it might be plain to us and understandable that at the end of the day, we will say to you, yes, let's do it. Father God, I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.